Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Thank you, Andrew, and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. With me this week is my wife, Lee. How are you, Lee?
I am doing well.
Excellent, excellent. My dad's not here. He's not feeling well.
Yeah.
So Lee's here to join me on this week's episode. We're going to talk a little bit about week number six in the NFL. There was a really good game up in Seattle, the Seahawks-Cowboys game.
Yes, there was.
I was actually surprised that the Cowboys were able to win that game because Seattle's very good at home. And, Romo was actually competent enough to do pretty well.
Yeah, it seems like the Cowboys are starting to find their footing this season. It's been a bit of a slow start, but... And Seattle is a fairly, I would say, even-keeled team. You always pretty much know what you're getting from them. So the fact that the Cowboys were able to pull it out, I was pretty surprised about that one.
Absolutely. And the Cowboys are very balanced this year. In the past, they've been very lopsided. But this year, it seems like they've been very much more even in spread out across their entire team. So that was a big game this past week. And the Indianapolis-Houston game, which started off on Thursday night, it was finally a Thursday night game that was actually...
balanced?
Well, it was a good game, and it wasn't over by halftime. Although, if you looked at the score at halftime, it was Indianapolis had scored like 28 points in the first quarter. So it looked like the route was on, but thankfully it evened out.
Yeah, the Thursday night games have been... pretty lopsided, which doesn't make me feel much confidence in tomorrow night's game against the Patriots and the Jets.
That's right. You're probably listening to this on Thursday. So, yeah, the Thursday night game is the Jets and the Patriots. The Jets had lost against Denver, which I knew they were going to lose, even though the Jets were at home. But the Broncos coming in, defending AFC champs.
The Jets actually played better than I expected against the Broncos, but it's still highlighting a lot of the problems that the Jets organization has, which are many, I think, stemming from, they keep saying they saved, what, $20 million?
Yeah, John Idzik has saved about $20 million under the cap, which could be used for a whole litany of free agents or even who were free agents who were signed but are elsewhere now. So very disappointing. Obviously, there's something going on in the front office above Rex's head. And quite honestly, I don't think Rex makes it out of the season.
No.
I mean, I'm
hoping he makes it to the end of the season.
Yes.
But
your team has to be very bad. And I'm not saying the Jets are anything near good. But you have to lose the team for the coach to get fired.
Yeah. It,
I mean, what the Jets players showed this week on the field was that they will fight for Rex.
Yeah.
And they did a very good job. But unfortunately,
Denver was just better.
Denver's better. New England's better team. Upcoming teams that they play. San Diego's a better team. There's a lot of better teams that they're going to face.
Then again, the Jets have pulled it out against New England in a number of seasons, winning games that they clearly should have lost. So
a couple even in New England.
Yeah.
But
in fact, sometimes it's one of the few wins that they have in a season. But we'll see what happens tomorrow, although I'm not particularly...
It's not going to be much fun. Well, speaking of this upcoming Week 7, aside from the Jets-Patriots game, there are some interesting football games this week, starting off with the Bengals at Colts. The Bengals are 4-1, I believe, or 5-1, and they're going to face up against the Colts. That's going to be a really good matchup.
I think I have a couple of Bengals players on my fantasy team.
Yes, I think you do as well. There's actually a couple good games. That's a good game. We also have Kansas City at San Diego. Kansas City and San Diego, both playoff teams this past season. San Diego's playing really well. Even though the Giants did not do well on Sunday night against the Eagles.
No, they did
this
not.
This is still Giants Cowboys, and that's a very
that's always a big game.
That's a big game in Dallas, save for last season when Manning got I think threw like 5 interceptions. He had a bad night.
That was last season. Yeah.
Well, that's where the famous because it was an opening night, opening night or opening weekend, a Sunday night game. And that was where that picture of Eli standing on the side with his hair all mussed up, and he's like almost cross-eyed, and he's like biting his tongue. He's going, wah. Like that's where that famous picture came from.
What you mean, Eli Manning looking like a Muppet?
Yeah,
if that Tumblr doesn't exist, it should.
I think it does actually. It's pretty. he's ridiculous to look at, but he as a player, he's pretty good.
I respect him as a player, but. I don't know. I always think it would be very interesting to hang out with the Manning brothers.
Yeah.
I think they'd be very cool to hang out
Absolutely.
With.
Absolutely. I like them. But the big game is the 49ers at the Broncos for Sunday night.
Yeah.
That's going to be a really, really good game, I think. If I were a betting man, which I'm not much of, I would actually go ahead and I would take, you know, that's tough. I think I would take Kansas City. Getting 4 at San Diego. So if you're looking for a bet to place, don't put more than $5. And you can use my name if you want. So if you lose it, you can curse me up to the heavens. But yeah, so I think I would like Kansas City plus 4 on the road at San Diego. That's just me. So that's the NFL this week. We can talk a little bit about fantasy football. Lee is also in the Everyman Sports Fantasy League.
Yeah.
How are you enjoying... this is also your first time doing fantasy football, correct?
Yeah, this is my first foray into fantasy football. I did fantasy baseball one season, I think when I was in college, and baseball, it's just too intense.
It's a totally different beats.
Yeah, this, one, it's nice to know, okay, Wednesday night I got to set my team. So I think from an organizational standpoint, I like it a lot more. But especially being a Jet fan and, you know, having sort of limited cheering abilities, I like that I'm sort of able to spread myself out.
Sure, something actually to get excited about.
Yeah, I can get excited about players that I have on my team when they do well. And it gets me interested in more games, which I like, especially, again, given how the Jets have played in the last few seasons, to watch two very competitive teams do well makes a big difference, and I think makes me a more well-rounded football fan.
Yeah, I think most people who really enjoy the game of football, just like anything else with football and specifically the NFL, there's always something more to get. There's always more to want. You know, it used to start off as one day a week, Sunday, and expanded out to Mondays. Now it's on to Thursdays, and there's always been some Saturday games sprinkled in, and there's going to be more this season and upcoming seasons, but they're always trying to get more interest and get more football, and fantasy football is just one of those many ways.
Yeah, and I know a lot more women are starting to enter fantasy football. And
kids.
A lot
of parents actually run kids' leagues, and like their kid organizes it, but they need an adult to help them out with it, but they get like kids from the neighborhood to do it with them. And women, absolutely.
Yeah.
In our Everyman Sports League, we have 4 women, including yourself.
Yeah.
4 women. And not all of them first timers either.
No. One of the women in the league, she's a fairly competitive poker player as well.
Yes, and I happen to know that she's been playing for several years now as well. So, not all rookies or noobs, if you will, in this league.
Actually, I think when we started the league at the beginning of the season, we were fairly evenly split with people who had never played before versus veterans. And, you know, it's kind of exciting when you beat a veteran. Although my current record is... 2-4, so
yeah,
not that great. Although better than the Jets record.
Well, it's true. I mean, I will say there are a couple. There are some veteran players, myself included, and several of our friends. And there is, at the top, at least, you can see the ones that are more...
more seasoned.
Yes, yes, a little bit more skill, although there's as much skill as there as there is as much skill as there is luck in fantasy football. So you kind of see that. So, yeah, the fantasy football, are anything you're excited about with your team upcoming? Any players that you're really...
Well, I picked up Hillman last week, and he had a really good game for me last weekend, so I'm excited to see what he does. My two quarterbacks are Phillip Rivers and Russell Wilson, and I actually think that they're a good pick because they're fairly evenly matched quarterbacks. I don't feel like I'm relying too much on one and not using another, so I've been switching them in and out. Of course, it always seems like I've got the wrong quarterback playing when they have a particularly impressive game.
Well, that one game, Russell Wilson, he ran all over Washington.
Yeah.
That's the exception.
That was an anomaly.
That's the exception.
Was that weekend that I just kept saying this was a weird weekend for football?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
It was two weekends ago.
I think it might have been week three.
Yeah.
One of those, we were watching a lot of the games going, wait. What?
Yeah, it's parody. A lot of things happen that you wouldn't necessarily expect, but that's part of the game. Yeah, Hillman did do really well for you. That was a really good pickup. So I'm looking forward to this week. I actually picked up Jerick McKinnon in the Everyman Sports League because he's getting a lot of carries from the Minnesota backfield, so he's supposed to be a big. And I actually also picked up Brandon Oliver, the San Diego running back. They have no running backs. Danny Woodhead's down.
Yeah.
Ryan Matthews is down. Oh, my goodness. There's the other one that just went down. There's a lot of running. Donald Brown just went down. So he's an undrafted free agent, and he's doing really well. So I was very happy.
Yeah. I also picked up the Green Bay defense. So they're at home. Who are they playing?
The Green Bay, they're playing, oh my goodness.
I was just looking at this.
I know you were. That's
Carolina?
What, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
they're playing Carolina at home, so I'm excited to see what they do in terms of defense. Because my other defensive option is San Francisco, and given that they're at Denver, I don't know that that's going to be a good bet. So.
Yeah, and in my fantasy, in my my personal public league, I have three Eagles players because I think that the Eagles offense really kind of works well. Nick Foles, Jeremy Maclin, but they're on a bye this week, and also the kicker, Cody Parker. So that's kind of, I had to do a lot of mix and match. I had to drop a couple guys I wasn't really fond of, but I appear to be the only person in my public league who actually does anything. Well, I shouldn't say that. There's four other, players who are actually making moves, and the other six just don't do anything. And so there's all these players out on the waiver wire, and so I have no fear dropping a guy and not...
And knowing that
he's still going to be
there.
They'll still be there, even the defenses, you know. So that's what I'm having to look forward to. Also right now is going on is the baseball playoffs.
Yes.
The Royals are going to the World Series, first time since 85.
Yeah. I saw somebody post, a good friend of mine who's a lifelong diehard Yankee fan, said something about how, well, the Royals haven't been in a World Series since I've been alive, so she's very excited to be rooting for them. And right now we've got on the
Cardinals-Giants game four, and right now the Cardinals are up 4-3.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the bottom of the fourth, but they were actually up 4-1. But neither of these teams ever stay down, which this is probably going to be a series that's going to go seven games, which doesn't bode well for the Royals.
Yeah.
Because the Royals now have a lot of days off. The Royals actually set a Major League Baseball record by winning eight straight postseason games.
Wow.
To start off a postseason. Yeah. That broke a record of seven made by a couple teams.
Right. Now they've got some time off, so that's going to lose some momentum for them.
Right, but I could foresee this being a lot like the 2007 postseason where the Rockies had the seven straight wins to start off a playoff season. And then they had this long break. Meanwhile, the Red Sox were down 3-1, and they came back to win it in seven games. So they were... they were red hot. They were still fighting. And the Rockies had all this time off, and it was very difficult. They got swept, the Rockies did. So the Royals are hoping for probably the Giants to really take control of the series and end it as soon as possible.
I mean, I'd like to see the Giants win.
The NLCS or the World Series?
I think it would be a more exciting story if the Royals won.
Oh, absolutely. And it'd be much more interesting.
Right. But I like the Giants, being that they, were transplanted from New York. But I like the team. I like their vibe. And I like seeing them in the postseason.
Yeah.
I think they're...
Well, you've seen it enough.
Them, yeah.
I mean, years now.
And
it's been...
I don't know. I feel like they're a more exciting team, at least to me, than the Cardinals.
I'm sick of the Cardinals. Quite honestly, I'm sick of the Giants, too. I mean, this is a team that is full of just offensive players that do no better than hit .220. They've got Buster Posey and Pablo Sandoval and Hunter Pence, and that's pretty much it. They've got this, somehow, I guess it's the manager, Bruce Bochy, he's a former catcher.
Yeah.
So he does really well with the pitching staff, but they're getting all this good pitching, and it's coming from just really kind of unlikely sources. Older veterans, spare parts, and I don't know, it just kind of drives me nuts when, I have no problem if a team does that, but if they succeed every year like that, it just,
They found a formula that works.
And yeah, and good for them. I would like the Royals. Because the Royals teach us one thing, that speed kills. I mean, they get on base, they steal bases, and they have fun.
Well, I mean, it truly, no matter who wins the NLCS, I think it really will be the David and Goliath story of sports.
Absolutely.
Where you've got these more storied teams. They've been to the postseason fairly recently. They've had postseason success recently.
Yeah.
And then the Royals, which, you sort 85. Of think, yeah, 85. And really, when have the Royals ever made a splash? You sort of sometimes
late
forget.
70s, early 80s. George Brett years.
Oh, that was before our time.
That was
so,
just before our time, yes.
Right. So, you think of the Royals. Now they're actually in the World Series. It's a great story, I think, no matter how you slice it. I know, we're all about what is the story. So
yeah, and that's a big part of it.
The good thing is that it will not be a blue and white and blue and white, or
no.
An orange and black and orange and black World Series.
No,
visually
it doesn't look good. I mean that's just one of my. I think out of the two, I would much rather the Giants come out on top in the NLCS. Orange and black looks better with blue than say something like red and blue, which is fine. I mean, but the
red and blue are
that's a color scheme that's just overly done. I don't know. I'm fine without it. So I'm really looking forward to seeing not only when the World Series starts, but actually if Kansas City can keep this up, because technically they've actually won 11 postseason games in a row. In 85, they were down 3-1 against the Cardinals, and they won 3 straight to win the World Series. And then these 8 this season, so that's 11 straight postseason games, which are pretty impressive. So that's about it. I know basketball and hockey started up, but it's too early. And
yeah.
Call me when the playoffs are started. That's when it's really interesting.
Basketball, college basketball is more interesting. I've always been a big fan of Rutgers women's basketball.
Sure.
Vivian Stringer is amazing.
Yes.
But in terms of professional, I could leave it. Hockey, I've always found fun and a great sport. Just we've never really been able to get consistent games. So maybe with our new... cable cord free setup, we might be able to get a little bit more hockey.
NHL does really well with it. I mean, we have friends who have also cut the cord, and they are very big hockey fans, and they use the game center, the center ice a package, and they get every game. No games are blacked out.
Yeah.
Well, the NHL, it's a much more fringe sport, and its coverage is much more fringe. So
yeah,
they have nothing to hide. They don't feel like they'll be at a loss, and especially if people pay a certain amount, you know, to get any game, all the games, any game,
yeah,
any games, and you can with the package. So it might be something to look into.
Well, now that they're revised, the FCC is starting to revise some of these blackout rules and these antiquated rules. It'll be interesting to see how that affects other sports, and also with HBO now announcing that they're going to be sort of an a la carte service.
Yeah.
How, I mean, I'm sure other cable companies will fall in line and get a piece of that pie. And, you know, maybe we will be able to get MLB without blackout rules.
Yeah, that would be nice. I mean, it really helps that now, you know, at least the Fox Sports One app,
mm-hmm,
the TBS app, those are available with a subscription. I've talked about it before,
right,
you know, borrowing somebody else's cable account to do that. And it's very feasible. Like, even if, you know, it's somebody in our extended family who has it, who allows us to use it.
Our immediate family.
Well, some more than others. But that other people would, I'm sure, be able to find friends or even just somebody else who would be willing to give it up, probably for a price. But
if Netflix accounts are shared throughout, I'm sure, you know, there are some people that are just unwilling to cut the cord.
Well, it's difficult. I mean, the setup we have, it is quite the Rube Goldberg. but it works for us,
yeah,
because we have that ability. But for others, it would just be, you know, is it convenience or is it cost? You know,
right,
for others, you know, the cost would be the convenience, and that would be enough.
I mean, it confuses the toddler, which is also fun.
No, very true. So, all right. Well, thank you very much, Lee, for
joining me
on this episode. Thank you. Enjoy the games this week. Enjoy some of the October weather outside, wherever you may live. Pick some pumpkins. Enjoy some apples.
Get some scares.
Get some scares. Watch some football. Enjoy some really good playoff baseball. This is a really good time because all four sports are in the mix, and you've got one in the playoffs, two just starting, and one in the thick of it. So enjoy it all.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.